All right, let me invite you this morning over to the book of Acts chapter 3, verse 8. Acts chapter 3, verse 8. Acts chapter 3, verse 8 reads this way. It says, "And he leaping up stood and walked and entered with them into the temple, walking and leaping and praising God." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come before your throne this morning. We thank you, Lord, for the privilege of gathering together as your people that you've redeemed with the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And Lord, at this moment, we ask your blessings on the service. And we pray, Lord, for the blessing of your Holy Spirit to fill our hearts and minds and to guide us into your truths, that we might worship you in truth and spirit. Lord, that you might be honored and glorified in this worship service. And Lord, that we might hear from you. And we'll give you all the praise, for we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. The title of the message this morning is Entering into the Place of Rejoicing. Entering into the Place of Rejoicing. Now, I want to start off and ask a couple of questions here. And the first one is it important to rejoice? Is it important? All right, let me ask you this. Does God command us to rejoice? Interesting. Does God command us to rejoice? And here's another question. Can you command somebody to rejoice? Have you ever told someone, be happy? Or maybe you thought that, right? Tell someone, you got to be happy. But listen, with God's commands, he makes the way for it to be possible. And so let's look at a couple of scriptures. We're not going to turn them. I'm just going to read them to you. Philippians 3:1 says, "Finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord." Rejoice in the Lord. Isn't that something? And then Philippians 4:4 says, "Rejoice in the Lord always." And again, I say, isn't that amazing? 1 Thessalonians 15:16 says, "Rejoice evermore." Rejoice evermore. Now, more important than it being a commandment, it's a place that God wants you and I to be in. It is a place that God wants you and I to be in, and it's the place where God dwells. It's the place where God dwells. I have to ask you a couple more questions, and here's the question. Is God the author of life? Amen. Amen. Are you sure about that? Amen. God is the author of life. Is God a God of order? We looked at that here this morning in our Sunday school class. And is God a God of purpose? Everything he did, was it not on purpose? Was anything God did an accident? Is anything God doing an accident? That gives us assurance. Everything you see taking place, even in the world today, is on purpose with God. Now, he allows things, but he still has a purpose and his plan, and you and I are part of that. And by the way, listen, you have purpose as well. You, in your own personal life, you have purpose, or you would be very miserable. There are things that you purpose to do. There are things that you enjoy to do with purpose. And that's a good thing, as long as it's a godly thing, as long as it's in agreement with the Word of God of the things that are good. And so the reason why I say that is because God, on purpose, created you and I to know His Son as our personal Savior. Not only that, but God has purposed also to bring you and I into the place of rejoicing. And this is important. Now, we can look at this morning from the perspective of those that don't know the Lord Jesus Christ and those who do know the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's how we're going to look at it this morning, because God wants to take you to a greater relationship with Himself. That's where God wants every believer to be. And then God wants the unsaved person to experience the grace of God. Now, here's what we have to filter through. What we think will keep us from hearing what God is saying. Do you believe that? Now, let me just make mention of this statement here. And you finish it for me, all right? Ready? Seeing is... Oh, my goodness, we all know that one. Seeing is believing. Now, is that really true? Is that really true? I think of my sisters, and I think of Brother Kevin, and I think of others that don't have their sight like you and I have, and yet everything in their life is still real, isn't it? They may not see the things that we see, but they're still true. So where did seeing is believing come from? From the heart of man. Because God has told everybody that He has created everything, and He is real, and we don't see Him, but God substantiates our faith in through the truth. But there are a lot of things that we don't see that are still real. I've never seen my children's brains. Why do you laugh? I still think they're real. I might question it a time or not, every now and then, but it's still real. And so, what happened? Anyway, all right. So let's look at a couple of things here this morning. Look, we're already rejoicing. We're already having a good time in the Lord. But God wants to reveal some important truths to us. And that is, first of all, that God is the one that brings us into this place of rejoicing. And God creates the place of rejoicing. Do you think heaven is a place of rejoicing? And God has created all of that, and one day you and I, is He preparing a place for you and I? Amen. My wife and I were driving on the way to church this morning, and she said, "Now why do we have a mansion in heaven?" Stop and think about it. And my just quick rational answer was, and I don't know that this is the right thing, well, because God wants everybody to have a place. But she says, well, we're not going to need it there, are we? I mean, where will we want to be? Where do we want to be? In the presence of God, right? Is there any night there? We're not going to need to sleep. We're not going to get hungry. There will be eating there. Here's really the answer, the right answer, and that'll be I'll tell you exactly that answer when we get there. No, you won't even need me to tell you that. You'll know it yourself, right? We'll all know it then. But God does everything with a purpose. There are some things that we don't understand, and yet we thank the Lord that He gives us that confidence, and God wants us to have that. So let's look at a couple of things here concerning entering into the place of rejoicing that God has for us. The world has a place of rejoicing, but it's temporal. It's up and down, up and down, up and down. But God has a place that He wants us to walk in and live in on this side of eternity, and He'll culminate all that eternally when we see Him face to face of this place of rejoicing. And in order to get to this place, God uses His people, and then when God brings rejoicing, everybody sees it. And then God's rejoicing brings an opportunity to witness for His honor and glory. So the place of rejoicing is a good place for God's people to be in. So let's look at the first eight verses here.
And I want you to see how God uses his people. Look at verse 1. Now Peter and John went up together into the temple at the hour of prayer, being the ninth hour. Now I just want to pause you just for a moment, and I want to remind you, remember when the Lord had all the disciples on the shore after the resurrection, and they were all eating, and he was telling Peter about feeding his sheep. And then what did Peter say? What about him, Lord? And he was pointing to John. What about him? And the Lord said, you worry about what I've got for you to do, and he'll mind his business, you mind your business. Basically, don't get sidetracked is what the Lord was saying. I've got such a great plan, purpose, and a place for you to serve me in. Look to what I've given to you. You know, if we're not careful, we get distracted looking at what everybody else is doing and what they should be doing, or what we think they should be doing, and we forget about little old me. If we'll just keep our eyes on little old me, we'll have a lot to work with there that God wants to bless. Listen very carefully. God wants to bring us into the place of blessing, and we'll be a blessing to others if we're focused on what God's will and purpose is for your life and mine. That's the best focal point on the Lord for what you want in my life. Because if I'm looking at the Lord for what you want in my life, I will be the servant God wants me to be. I will be the husband that God wants me to be. I will be the father that God wants me to be. I will be the witness that God wants me to be. And you know what will end up happening? I'll be in the place of rejoicing. I'll be in the place of rejoicing. And so here they are. Here's Peter and John, by the way, that are in this place of rejoicing. They're walking together. There is a little bit of competition there, a little bit of rivalry there, and now they're walking together, serving the Lord in this place of rejoicing. They're going to the house, the temple of God, during the hour of prayer. And notice this in verse 2, and a certain man lame from his mother's womb. Now, I want to stop there, and this is a physical part in this man's life, but I want you to see it's also a spiritual part as well, because it affected his relationship with the Lord. He was not able to go into the temple of God at the hour of prayer. He was just going to be sitting outside. There's a lot of people that are on the outside that don't know Jesus yet. Amen? And that's the place of rejoicing. That's the place of where peace comes, where rest and assurance and purpose to life, when we know what's on the other side of this physical realm. Amen? There's a lot of people that have a lot of things and a lot of accomplishments that don't have peace with God. There's not really rejoicing in. And listen, when you get closer to the end of life and you start watching friends die off and relatives die off, go on onto the other side, you know that your number's going to be soon, sometime. And then here's what we do. I've watched this and I've seen this. We think that the doctors can fix it all. That's okay. We'll just go to the doctor and get it fixed. Just go to the doctor and get it fixed. Listen, there's coming a day that the doctors can't fix it. And the inevitable is going to take place. And then what? And then what? If you don't have a peace and a place of rejoicing that God brings us into, you really don't have life. You really don't have purpose, because it's going to end. The purpose that God gives to every believer is eternal. And it's not like this figment of our imagination, or I'd have quit a long time ago. But God substantiates and reaffirms it every day of my life. And God wants us to be... Listen, do you think Peter and John were just religious people? You think they were just religiously practicing their routine? This is the hour of prayer. Let's go, John. Okay, Peter. Right? You think that's what they... Or do you think they were going there to meet with God? So let me ask us this morning, I believe you're here, but are you not here to meet with the Lord and to hear from Him? Amen. And so here's what God is doing, and He's using Peter and John, and here's this man that's lame from his mother's womb. That could be the lost world without Christ. It could be a child of God that is missing out on being in that place of rejoicing that God wants them in, and He wants to use your life and mine to encourage them, to bring them into that place of rejoicing, as He did here with Peter and John. So here He is, He's sitting at the gate. And by the way, they laid Him daily there at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms of them that entered into the temple. That's just the physical needs, but the spiritual needs weren't being met. Now, he had another physical need that only God could help him with as well. And there he was, no doubt the doctors couldn't do anything for him. And here's the truth of the matter is, the world cannot give us what God wants to give us. It doesn't matter the intellect of the world, the technical advancements of the world. There is just one thing, and that's a relationship with God that the world can't provide. And by the way, which is everything. All right, so he says this in verse 3, who seeing Peter and John, did you see that? Listen, because they were in the place of rejoicing, their relationship had been strengthened by the Lord, they were looking forward to going into the temple of God during the hour of prayer to hear from the Lord, to meet with God, and now all of a sudden, because they're in the place that God wanted them, another onlooker on is watching this. Sometimes we'll be the example to the lost, and sometimes we could be the example to the saved, the encouragement that the saved child of God needs as well. And so he sees here, verse 3, who seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, asked alms, and Peter, fastening his eyes upon him with John, said, look on us. They were experiencing the grace of God. Now I want to ask you a question here. Did Peter and John the day before know that they were going to have this encounter? No. No. Did they know that this was going to take place a month before it happened? No, it didn't. They didn't. But see, they were in the place of rejoicing, and God could use that at the drop of a hat, at the very moment that it was needed. Sometimes we don't think that's important. Listen, I'm convinced we miss out on opportunities when we are not in the place of rejoicing, especially when we're out amongst our family and in the world. But let me ask you this question. Who do you want to influence for Christ more, the world or your family? Your family. It ought to be priority because God puts you in your family. Amen? And you ought to love your family. Because if we don't love our family, how can we say we love God who we have not seen yet? Do you see the importance there? So God wants us to love our family. And by the way, in Ephesians chapter 5, you see Paul writing there about how we ought to love our wives and how the marital relationship, the family relationship is important. And then he says, but I want you to know that I'm talking about Christ and the church. That's what he says there. And so this place of rejoicing is important for every believer, because if we're not careful, we'll lose and miss out on opportunities that God wants us to take advantage of to help primarily, first, our family. And it's not this, listen, it is the Spirit of Christ in and through us that makes the difference. It's not just saying, okay, I'm supposed to do these things and I need to do these things because I want to influence my family. That's our work. God wants to do a work in our lives that only He can do. So as you consider this, he asks an alms, and Peter, fastening his eyes upon him with John, said, look on us. He was in the place of rejoicing and was able to take advantage or seize the moment for the glory of God. So look on us. You know what that also expresses? They had the kind of life that was a good example for the glory of God. Do you believe Peter was in right step? Was Peter always in this place? No. Was Peter ever in a place where he wept bitterly? Yeah, he denied the Lord, didn't he? Don't answer this question. Have you ever messed up? God's not done with you. Amen? God still wants to put you in this place of rejoicing with Peter and John. And by the way, with the lame man. And so notice what happens here in verse 5. And he gave heed unto them, expecting to receive something of them. Well, let me ask you this question. Did he get something from them? He did. It wasn't what he thought it was, but he got something even better. Do you know, fathom this thought, God has given to you and I the privilege of being in the place of rejoicing to give others things that are better than what they're even expecting. Because if you ask the world or you ask those who are not in tune with God what they think they need, they'll tell you all different kinds of answers, depending upon where they're at in life. Some people think they need a driver's license. Nothing wrong with that. Some people think they need a spouse. There's nothing wrong with that. But here's the thing. What God has in store is even greater than what we can ever imagine. There are things, listen, some people think they need a vacation, and they might. Amen. And they might. And there's nothing wrong with that. See, there are so many things that we might think we need, but I want you to understand something. Even more than the alms, this guy was expecting to receive some money, something that would sustain him in the physical realm. And he got something that surpassed that. So notice what happens here. He says, look on us. And verse 5, this is important. And he gave heed unto them, expecting to receive something of them. I hope this morning you're expecting to receive something from the Lord today. I hope you're saying, God, I want to hear what you have for me. I want to understand what you have for me to enjoy. I want you to bring me into this place that I might rejoice. And by the way, the rejoicing of God is contagious. Because of what he's doing in our lives, we might call that revival takes place. So, notice what verse 6 says. Then Peter said, silver and gold have I none. Maybe just for a glimpse moment, his heart sank. Maybe. But very quickly he said, but such as I have, give I thee in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. Isn't that something? I don't think he ever thought he was going to hear that day. But God came by. And this morning, God, is God in our midst today? Two or three are gathered together. And he took him by the right hand. So listen, watch what Peter is doing. Rise up and walk. And then Peter, what does Peter do? Stretches out his hand. He reaches out to him. And notice, and took him by the right hand, verse 7, and lifted him up. Where's the faith at in Peter? He's lifting up this man. This man didn't have any strength to get up. This man had never even, probably hadn't tried to get up in a long time. And he lifted him up, and immediately, notice, because of Peter's faith, as he lifted him up, immediately, at that moment, his feet and ankle bones received strength. He had never had that before. God wants to bring us into the place that we've never been before. God wants to bring us into this place of rejoicing that's even better and sweeter than yesterday. Because God's love grows brighter and brighter the closer we draw to him. And so verse 8, he says, and he leaping up, notice, stood and walked and entered with them into the temple, walking and leaping and praising God. Isn't that something? You think that man was a little bit excited? Just a little bit? Now, wait a minute. Here's what we forget about. How about Peter and John? Do you think they said, look at that. Praise God. He did it again. Do you think they were rejoicing with this man? I think sometimes we look at Peter and John and say, yeah, they knew that was coming. No, listen, they'd never seen it like that before. Is it possible that God can bring you and I into the place of rejoicing, to this place of rejoicing that he wants to take us to that we've never seen before? See, we look at, yeah, I see what God has done in my life, and I praise God for that, but God's not finished yet. Because he's a God of purpose, and he wants to use and bless your life and mine. So as we consider this, God uses his people. I want to bring it to the next thought. When God brings rejoicing, everybody sees it. Look at verse 9. And all the people saw him walking and what? Praising God. Now, God does not, do you think he fabricated, I've been saved now, I'm supposed to praise God? Do you think he was thinking how to lay this all out? See, if we're not careful, you know what our problem is? We become too mechanical. This is the mechanical part, ready? I'm supposed to read my Bible. I should read my Bible. I have to read my Bible. God wants to bring us to the place to where we can't wait to read our Bible. Do you think this man said, I've got to go to the temple now. I need to go to temple. I should go to temple. Do you think that's what he was saying? Oh, no. Oh, listen. This man couldn't wait to get in there. He started church service outside. He's already praising God on the way in. And by the way, do you think everybody inside saw the commotion? That kind of commotion's okay because that's a spirit-led commotion. God doesn't want us to fabricate it and put on. He wants us to walk in him, and he in us. and that we might experience this place of rejoicing. And so he's praising God. And notice this verse 10 here. And they knew that it was he which sat for alms at the beautiful gate of the temple. And they were filled with wonder and amazement at that which had happened unto him. Do you know that place of rejoicing that God brings us into will allow others to see there's something different that's real. There's a joy there. See, it goes beyond just a religious practice. It goes to the relationship with God. And people see that, and that's what's contagious. Do you think Jesus drew a crowd? Yeah. Do you think the people had a cause? Do you think the people had to get around Jesus? Or do you think they wanted to? See, listen, that ought to be, because Christ is in us and we're in him, that ought to be the place for the child of God of rejoicing, where people want to see. They want to see what's going on. Whether they're checking out. Listen, so what happens is people will evaluate, they see something going on and they want to see if it's real. The problem comes when we're not real with God because we don't understand that he wants to do the work. Inevitably, people will walk out this morning and think, I need to do more for God. And that's not at all the message this morning. Here's the message. Ready? God wants to do more for us. God wants to do more for us, through us, for his glory. And all we need to do is say, God, I would like to experience that. It's his will. God, I would like to for you. We try to do everything by our power. God, I would like to try letting you do things and through me in your power. I would like to try that out and see if God doesn't give you the victory. And see if that doesn't bring praise. Because if spiritually speaking, we can be lame in our walk with God. Saved child of God, but missing out on that place of rejoicing. And so they were all filled with wonder, the Bible, and amazement at that which had happened unto him. Verse 11, and as the lame man which was healed held Peter and John, all the people ran together unto them in the porch that is called Solomon's, greatly wondering. Now, there were other people there that were going in for prayer. But why did they draw the crowd? God was at work. God was at work. Do you want to know how God's people will draw the crowd? Well, we need to have a barbecue and a band in here. That'll draw a crowd. That's not God's way. God's way is that we will experience God and his grace and power in our lives, and he'll draw the crowd. Do you think that morning Peter and John got together? Now let's come up with an idea on how we can draw a crowd. And that layman said, I wonder today how I can make a big splash today in society. Is that what that man? That man had no idea. Peter and John were just walking in fellowship with the Lord, and they were usable. They were in the right place of rejoicing for God to use them and for them to not be so filled with themselves. You know, we can do that. And they could see this man. And yet, listen, they did not have anything physically for this man, but they had something even better, and that's the same thing you and I have, and that's the Lord Jesus Christ. But I think sometimes we walk around like spiritual paupers. Well, I don't have anything to, I'm just trying to make it through, praise God. I'm just going to survive the day. Is that the life of a believer? Man, you think that's what Peter and John were saying? I just hope I can make it through today. Man, the world says, get away from me. I don't need that. I got my own troubles. Now, why is that? And it's possible, and I want you to know I've been there, and I could be there tomorrow, and I could be there 5 minutes after I leave church. I could be there. But the reason why that happens is because I've stopped looking to my Jesus and his promises, and I'm looking to myself and my problems. God, help me to get my eyes on you and off myself, that I might see you, and your will for my life is to be in this place of rejoicing. Can we rejoice today? You're a child of the King. Can anybody take that away from you? Your destination is eternal life, to forever be with the Lord. Will that ever change? God substantiates that in the life of the believer. He confirms that. Do you think Peter and John received more confirmation of the power and grace and mercy of God of their salvation that day? Absolutely. Do you see how God does that? As we are in the will of God, God uses us in the lives of others, and not only does it bless them, but it confirms us. Don't you know inside they were shouting hallelujah and praise be to my God? Here's all the people, and the Bible says they're greatly wondering here in verse 11. So when God brings rejoicing, everybody sees it. And if everybody's not seeing, beginning with our own family, then we need to ask God. We need to say, God, there's a problem. I'm not in that place of rejoicing. Listen, that's not a problem to bring that up before the Lord. And that's not wrong. What is wrong is to not be in the place of rejoicing and not say or do anything about it. God wants us to look at our life and look at what God says life is in Him and say it's either right or not right. And here's what the problem is, ready? The power source. It is easy for you and I to look to ourselves of what we're supposed to be and should be doing and forget that what God wants to do and has created us for. Do you know question. Is it God's purpose to glorify Himself through His people? Is it? Are you sure? Okay, listen with me again. Is it God's purpose, not ours? We're just His children, and that's a lot. But is it God's purpose for Him to glorify Himself in and through your lives? So whose job is it? Do you follow that? We have picked up the yoke of bondage thinking we've got to do it. We're never going to do it. Don't answer this question. If you're doing it in your strength, how's it working out for you? Don't answer. I already know. I've tried it. It doesn't work at all. It doesn't work at all. And we do it because we love the Lord. But it's still not right. Is it possible for you to do something and still love God? Yeah. Is it possible for you to do the wrong thing and still love God? Is it possible for you to miss God and still love God? Oh, Lord, they'll all forsake you. Not me. And he wept bitterly, didn't he, Peter? Did he love the Lord? He did, or he wouldn't have wept. He did, or he wouldn't have wept. Did God want Peter in that place? That's a tricky question, isn't it? Only if he wanted him to die to himself. If you're miserable in your relationship with Christ, it's because God's saying, you need to die so I can live. You need to understand, or you'll never enjoy your relationship like you can. If it's all, you see, we got all these things lined out and outlined and figured out, and we've missed God completely. See, we think God thinks like we think. God takes the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. And there are so many people that are so wise in their own eyes that they miss God. I'm talking about God's people. We can miss God. So the last thought here is God's rejoicing brings an opportunity to witness. We saw here that God uses His people and bring people to this place of rejoicing. We saw here that when God brings rejoicing, everybody sees it. But look at this opportunity to witness. Look at verse 12. And when Peter saw it, he answered unto the people. Now, so he's seeing this response of the people that are greatly wondering. No doubt Peter and John saw the lame man rise up and walk, and they're praising God. And Peter is so led by the Holy Spirit and John as well, that now he sees something else. See, the first thing Peter and John saw was a lame man. The second thing that Peter and John see are all the people that are reacting and responding, and that's a good thing. Because now he's going to help them to understand how we get to this place of rejoicing. So verse 12 says, and when Peter saw it, he answered unto the people. So now his directions changed. Ye men of Israel, Why marvel you at this? You know why? Listen, because they should have known it. But they crucified the Savior. Wait a minute. Could we possibly be grieving the Spirit of God in the life in our lives as a believer? Is it possible for you and I to grieve the Spirit? And listen, tonight, this morning, I'm sorry, we're listening to what God wants to do to bring us into this place of rejoicing. And we should marvel at it to realize that God wants to do that work even today. Not tomorrow. Brother George, that was a good message. Maybe next year. No, that's not what God wants us to do. He wants us to seek Him today. But you don't understand, Lord, and we give Him all the excuses. You know, I've been saved X amount of years. Well, praise God for that. But God wants to bring us to a better relationship with Him. Question, do you think possibly people say, well, I've been saved 40, 50 years. God can't show me anymore. Could He? I mean, I got it all. I already know everything. Really? God can't, but we're going to see Him face to face. You think God's going to show us more? You think we're going to see things? How much more? An infinite amount. Do you think God doesn't want to do that now on this side of eternity? Do you think, listen, does the phrase, scriptural phrase, to grow in His grace, to grow in His love, mean anything? It's His. And so if it's going to happen in our lives, we're going to have to surrender and humble ourselves and say, God, I need you to give it. So He's talking to these Israelites. Verse 12, why marvel you at this? Or why look ye so earnestly, notice this, on us? No, now listen, this is not Peter. Because remember Peter said, though all they forsake you, look at me. Look at me. I won't do it. That's what Peter was saying. Though all they, you know what he's saying? He's putting himself on the pedestal. And so he says here, why marvel ye at this? Why look ye so earnestly on us as though by our own power or holiness? Oh my goodness. Power or holiness did not come from Peter. We had made this man to walk. Why are you looking at, and by the way, that's a problem. In the life of the believer, when God starts blessing, we can forget and think, man, look at me. But Peter was very clear to say, oh, listen, it's not from us. Verse 13, the God of Abraham and of Isaac and of Jacob, the God of our fathers hath glorified His Son Jesus, whom ye delivered up and denied Him. And you notice, ye delivered Him up and denied Him in the presence of Pilate when he was determined to let Him go. Pilate was determined to let Him go. You had Him crucified. But ye denied the Holy One and the just and desired a murderer to be granted unto you, because there has to be repentance before there can be forgiveness. There has to be repentance before there can be forgiveness. There has to be repentance before there can be forgiveness. Maybe we need to ask the Lord to forgive us for trying to do it in our own strength. Peter wept bitterly. He's not pointing a finger at these people. He experienced that place himself. Because he says, verse 14, but ye denied him, but ye determined to let him go, the just one, and desired a murderer to be granted unto you. Peter denied him as well, and killed the Prince of Life, whom God hath raised from the dead, whereof we are witnesses. And his name through faith in his name hath made this man strong, whom ye see and know. Yea, notice, the faith which is by him hath given him this perfect soundness in the presence of you all. Isn't that amazing? Who is Peter pointing to? The Lord. God himself. Do you think Peter is rejoicing right here? He's not mad. Do you think Peter's mad? He's saying, man, you guys can have it too. You guys can have it too. You just need to understand. Did Peter have to understand some things? He did have to understand some things. Is it possible you and I as a child of God need to understand some things? It is. Listen, I need to understand some more things. God has given me this thing. Listen, I have not arrived. I want you to know in my relationship with the Lord, I'm still scratching. At the surface, I'm not even a quarter of an inch, a 16th of an inch, a 64th inch of an inch into my relationship with the Lord. My God is infinite. You know what that means? There is no end. Endings a lot of times are sad. Even a good ending, because it's over. With God, there is no end. Imagine that. Quickly, and we'll finish up here. Verse 17. And now, brethren, listen. And now, brethren, I wot that ye through ignorance, ye did it, as did also your rulers. And Peter, I did it too. Amen? But those things which God before had showed by the mouth of his prophets that Christ should suffer, he hath so fulfilled. Repent ye therefore and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out when the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord. And he shall send Jesus Christ, which before was preached unto you, whom the heaven must receive until the times of the restitution of all things which God hath spoken by the mouth of all his holy prophets since the world began. It's the same message. God. It's the same message. God. So here's the question again. Does God want you and I to enter into his place of rejoicing? Then we must ask God to bring us there. Be it for salvation, God, that you might give me rejoicing in eternal life, or in my everyday life with the Lord Jesus Christ. Don't let it stop right here. God, bring me into that place every day. By the way, every moment of every day. We can be in the place of rejoicing right now. An hour later, we can be distracted. God, help me to keep my eyes. Lord, you keep my eyes on you and what's really important, what's eternal. And we will be the witnesses to our own families of the truth in us, and that's Christ. We will be the right kind of witness to our church family. I believe this is the order. God doesn't want you busy about saving the world and lose your family. God doesn't want you busy about saving the world and not influence the church by the grace of God. God wants your family, the church, and the world in that order. And so, don't get busy for God. Ask God, please, Lord, do your work in me. Would you stand? As we prepare for the Lord's invitation, let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the information. We thank you for the truth that you've given to us. Lord, we thank you that you are an infinite God with purpose, and that you've created us to fellowship and walk with you and to enjoy you. Lord, I pray that you would give us clarity of mind, that we might call upon you to fulfill that and perform that which you've promised in us. Bless the invitation, meet the need, whatever it might be, and we'll give you all the praise, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.